Amen. It's a good little crowd this morning for Sunday school.
Yes. Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Very good. Good to see you.
Before we get started, I'm going to give a few announcements here. If you could this morning, keep the mayor's granddaughter in prayer. I don't have her name yet. I got a call last night that they had to rush her to a hospital. I think it was Friday or yesterday. I guess they were down at the beach and she was running around playing. She's only six. And she just dropped on the beach where her heart stopped. And so they were able to revive her, rushed her to a hospital in Philly. So, I'm trying to get her name. Miss Francis called me up late last night and asked us to pray this morning for I guess they stabilized her. From the last I heard, she stabilized. I don't know any further details. All I know is her heart stopped beating and they had to bring her back. We're going to pray for her this morning. So the mayor's granddaughter. And then Brother Joe and Sister Chris, to pray for their son as well, Derek. I'm not sure yet on the diagnosis with that, but it sounds like he might have ALS.
He does.
Do we have he does, so it's confirmed. Okay. Pray for them. I know that's very heavy on them. Please continue to keep Miss Kathy in prayer with the loss of her brother. So just a lot to pray for. And Brother Les and Sister Nancy, keep them in prayer continually. And they say thank you. They want me to tell you thank you this morning for all the cards, for all the prayers, phone calls, everything that we try to do for them, that they're grateful for it. And they say this morning, thank you. So Brother Les, Sister Nancy, if you're watching, we love you. We're praying for you. And pray to God just give you comfort for everything you're going through. Also, it's good to have Brother Sassy here this morning and his wife Dixie. It's a blessing to have him up here. It's the first time I've seen him in 20 years. But I followed and read his prayer letters for all 20 years, and he's been a blessing to me, whether he knows or not, just for 20 years. It's a blessing to have him here with us this morning. It's an honor to have him here with us this morning. He'll be taking the Sunday morning service and Sunday evening service. So keep him in prayer and ministry to the Jews. Also, public outreach, Lord willing, this Thursday. We're going to try again for Front and Pine Street. See if we can make Facebook again. From 6 to 7 on Thursday, if you're interested in coming out, if we've got enough people, I'm going to try to get some people down on Front and Ray Street. So if we have enough people come out, I might send two people down to hold up some signs down there on Front and Ray Street. And that's about all I have. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for our country. Thank you on this July 4th, dear God, that we have a country that we can meet in. We have freedoms, Lord, to come together for church. Lord, I thank you for your word, dear God. I thank you, Lord, that we're not being persecuted. God, that we just have freedom. Lord, thank you for all the soldiers that went before this country, dear God, fighting wars, dear God, that gave their lives that we might have freedom today. Lord, I pray you help those soldiers, Lord, that are back home that are suffering, dear God, from wounds, both internal and external. Lord, just help us to always be grateful for our country. Lord, I pray this morning especially for our president. Lord, a lot of things he does I don't agree with, dear God, but he's the president. Lord, your word says we ought to pray for him. So I pray for him this morning, Lord. I pray you bring conviction upon him, Lord. I pray you deal with him and his wife about their soul, where they truly stand with you. Same with the vice president, dear God. I don't agree with a lot there either. Lord, you know it grieves my heart, dear God, the condition of our country. Lord, you said pray for our leaders, so I pray for her this morning, Lord, and her husband, children, dear God. I pray you bring conviction upon them, open her eyes to the truth, and where they clearly stand with you, Lord, so that they can make righteous decisions for our nation. Lord, I pray you help us just to stay faithful to you. Be with us this morning, Lord. Give us what we need. We ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. 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 Brother Ralph, you can come on up, brother. All right, so for the memory verses, we're going to go through it again this month and review it, but we're going to go through all five each week. Okay?
Sounds good. All right. Good to see each of you here this morning. The weather was a little rough yesterday, but we had a great time at the picnic. Those of you who had other things going on, we understand. We missed you yesterday. And hopefully, the next time we're able to have something like this, I hope you'll be able to come. All right. let's start with course book number 12. Course book number 12. Favorite of many of ours, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, considering your ministry, brother, it sounds like I thought that was appropriate.
So. Amen.
All right, Psalm number 63. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Happy birthday to you.
All right. hopefully all of you have these little books. We're on page number 9. And like we've been doing, we will read the statement before the verse and then the verse. And we will do all the verses on this page. All right? Here we go. Life is brief, James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death is short. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Christ may appear in any moment. Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No escape, or perhaps to neighbors. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? All right. Pastor.
Lord, well, next week, we'll see if anybody's willing to try to say from memory all five of them. So, Lord, next week, practice through this week here, and we'll give an opportunity next week for somebody to try to say all five of them together. Amen. If you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue our study here in Genesis, book of Genesis, talking about singing that song that Ralph had this morning about, I want that mountain, taking a mountain. Continuing on, kind of what we were looking at last week in Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Lord willing, finish up this morning just looking at this thought on the rest that God's provided for us, especially in the time and day and hour that we're living in. There is a rest for Christianity, for Christians to rest in. Like I said last week, there's no way to prevent times of depression. There's no way to prevent anxiety. There's no way to prevent fretfulness, but it's what we do when we're confronted with it. And it's kind of, I want to continue on and hopefully, Lord willing, finish up this morning on looking at this thought that God has provided rest for us. And let's just look at this. Let's pray real quick again. Father, I thank you again for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I just ask for your wisdom and guidance now this morning. Lord, I pray you just clear my mind, dear God. I pray you just give what's needed. Lord, open our ears, open our eyes, dear God, our hearts to receive, Lord, the promises contained in your word, Lord, that we would enter into rest, dear God, and trust you in everything that we face in our life. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to you, Lord, that we finish our course, dear God, we continue to fight the good fight, and I just ask for your guidance now, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, listen, if you're not in a state of resting in the Lord, it's kind of hard then to walk and be sanctified, being set apart. Okay, God expects his children to be different. God expects his children to be different. Now, first of all, the difference needs to occur, first of all, on the inside. Right? I'm concerned as a preacher and as a pastor that the difference has occurred first on the inside. You see, a lot of people can get outwardly cleaned up. A Muslim can dress right. A Muslim can be modest. A Muslim can pray. They pray 5 times a day. I forget how many times they pray, but they pray towards Mecca. They're devout in it.
And it's a shame to say that sometimes I think those in Islam put Christianity to shame in their devotion to their God Allah, which is no God. And it puts some Christians to shame because of their devotion and their separation they have from the world. I've had those that come and say in Islam that they know Christianity is not true because of how many Bibles Christianity has. I believe there's only one Bible.
Amen.
I believe I'm on God's word. And see, but if you're confronting those in Islam, they're going to say, if it's a devout one, he's going to say, well, Christianity is not true because you don't even have the scriptures because you say there's 350 different Bibles. Which one's right? All I know is if something's different, it ain't the same thing. I know that. I know if it's different, it's not the same thing. So if you change some words around, I don't care how long you want to say it's the same thing, it's not the same thing. But God says here, he says he blessed and he sanctified the seventh day. And when you enter into God's rest, first of all, in salvation, that's the first rest. But there's a second rest that comes daily by walking with God. And a daily sanctification. Now we're sanctified in the Spirit forever because we're born again in the Spirit. But there's a daily sanctification that God expects in our lives, daily purifying that hopefully from day one when you're saved, you're not the same as you were in year 20 years later. You're different. God, there should be a continual growth in your walk with Jesus Christ. But God talks here about resting. Take your Bible again, look back over at Numbers chapter number 13. We looked at it last week a little bit. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and I want to jump over here to verse number 26. Numbers 13 and verse 26. The spies come back. We looked at this a little bit last week. We'll just do a quick little review. Numbers 13, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word of them. And in all the congregation showed them the fruit of the Lamb. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and there is fruit of it. You see, that's where God, we talked about last week, that's where God desires for us to dwell. Listen, the reason you ought to read your Old Testament is because it parallels what a Christian walk could be. Especially the first five books. All right, they wandered around in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't believe God. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. Yet there was fruit there that God desired for them to have, and there was milk and honey. And if they would have went in on God's strength, there was rest to be had because of what God's doing for them. Not because of anything you can do, but because of what God was going to do for them. But look what they say in verse 28. Nevertheless, how often that, but I got this going on. But this situation. No, they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But look what happens in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They said here in verse number 31, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. How many people today that are struggling getting eat up inside their mind? Now, look, we can come to church and we can put on the right attire. We can put the smile on. We can give the little hug, the handshake. How's everything going? Good. I'm fine. You all right? Yeah, I'm good. But you're not. How many people come to church? They're not doing good. Now, if you get to know one another, you can pick up on it pretty quick. My wife says I'm pretty easy to read. Kind of show my feelings on my face. And the more you get to know me, you're probably going to say, well, yeah, pastor, something's wrong with pastor. I try to hide it, but I'm not very good at it. But there's times I'm not. There's times I've gone to church and I've told a brother or sister, yeah, I'm good, when in reality I'm not. In reality, I'm not. In my mind, there's something eating me up in my mind and my heart. But the reason is because I allowed the enemy to do so. You see, God gives us victory. You see, God always provides an opportunity to do the right thing. And what I mean by that is God, the Bible says there even in Revelation that God gave that Jezebel a space of time to repent, to turn, to change the way they were going. And you see here, God gives the children of Israel a chance. They bring up an evil report. The 10 out of the 12 bring up an evil report. But yet the Bible says Caleb in verse 30, Caleb tried to steal the people. And how many times God tries to get our attention, and I'm so thankful that God's long-suffering and he's merciful, that he just doesn't quickly just deal with us right out because we just didn't get it right the first time. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is very gracious with us. But we ought not to take advantage of that. We ought not to take advantage of... See, Caleb tried to steal the people saying, listen, no, it's all right. You can go on with the Lord. God can give you the strength and encouragement you need. But they said, no, we can't. These people are too great. The walls are too high. They're too strong. They're too big. They're too fast. There's too many of them. We can't do it. And I'm not going to read it, but look over at chapter 14. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but look at verse number 1 in chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Why aren't they murmuring against God? It's not Moses and Aaron that's saying go in and take the land. It's God saying go in and take the land. But it's a lot easier to put the pressure or point the finger at somebody else. And a lot of people are going to say, God, I got a problem with you, God. No, they'll say, I got a problem with the preacher. I got a problem with this brother. I got a problem with this sister. Well, I'm not coming to church because they offended me. What about God? What about God? Well, I'm not coming to church because he said this and he said that. Yeah, but what about God? He didn't offend you. He didn't cause any... God didn't do you wrong. God's good. God's merciful. God's gracious. And here they're not murmuring against God. They should point their fist at God, their finger at God, and say, God, why are you doing this? No, but they murmur against Moses and Aaron. That's a lot easier. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? You better be careful what you say. Because God's listening. And God hears what they're saying right here. Would to God that we had dwelt or died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Well, guess what? They're going to die in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't take God at his word. You know why it's so important to read through this whole book? Is number one, to get a right perspective, but to see what God's done for people in the past. How God brought people through certain situations. And you need the whole counsel of God, both old and new. You need the whole counsel of God. Take your Bible and look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse number 1. Paul talking to the church here at Corinth. Look what he says to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Paul's telling the church here, he says, listen, I don't want you being ignorant. What does he want us to be ignorant of? How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and it all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know what you get by going through the Old Testament? You'll get pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord willing, it's going to be two, probably 3 weeks from now, as we can start our study there in Exodus, you start going through the tabernacle, there's all kinds of pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. But it's spiritual. You know, This thought, I was on the phone with somebody this week, talking to somebody. Me and Brother Dave here kind of were hinting, talking a little bit around it this morning as I was talking with him. I'm afraid today that a lot of people can parrot out Christianity. What I mean by that is they have an intellectual, they have a historical knowledge of the Word of God, the Bible. They can say the right verses, they can say the right stories, they've gone to Sunday school, they've gone to Bible college, they have all the right answers with everything, but there's still something missing. Something spiritual missing. And as a preacher and as a pastor, I want you to make sure that you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, and you don't merely just have an intellect of what the Bible says. Paul tells them here, he says, listen, it's a spiritual meat and it's a spiritual drink. This is a spiritual book. And the only way you're going to understand this book is by having the Spirit of God dwelling within you and Him teaching you and guiding you and directing you. I know I sound like a broken record talking about it, but this is the most important thing I could preach. Does this book enlighten your eyes? Does it touch your heart? And can you pull things out of it and not merely, look, one of the reasons, I like to do a lot of reading. I like to do a lot of reading. But one of the reasons I went back, my kids got me for this for Father's Day, but one of the reasons I went back to this Bible here, and I still have my other Bibles, I don't want the notes in my Bible. Now some of you guys, I'm not saying it's wrong to have the notes in the Bible, but I have a Scofield Bible. Sometimes I'll refer back to it, but I want to read and God give me something out of His Word. Do you understand? There's nothing wrong with, Scofield's got some good notes, but he's also got some things he's off on. All right? He's a good man, just like any man. He's got some good stuff, be off on some stuff. That's why anytime I preach or any man preaches to you, you should have your Bible open, you should be going through the Scriptures, and you should be letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. And not just do something because I say something, you're doing it because the Holy Spirit is telling you to do it. There's a lot of preachers out there that hit hard on convictions, on standards, but as soon as they got the right standards, but their attitude stinks. And then you got people that got wonderful attitude and they ain't got no standards. A walk with God. We don't do anything because a preacher says we do it. We do it because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. He's convicting us and He's trying to help us and grow. And we're going through a pruning process and God's doing the pruning process. Do you understand this morning? I want everybody in this room and everybody in this church that's a member of this church to have a walk with God and God grow you. There's going to be times I'm going to say something you're not going to agree with. I might say something wrong. I butcher the English language. I butcher it. My wife tries to coach me all day long. No help. I'm a lost cause. I try. But see, if you have the Spirit of God, God can give you something every time you come to church. I believe that. I believe God can give you something. I believe God can meet with you. And it may not be something I give you. It may be what another brother or sister in Christ can give you. That's why it's so important to be in church. But Paul says here, I don't want you being ignorant. Ignorant of what, Paul? Of what our fathers went through in the Old Testament. You will say, well, I'm not a Jew. You don't have to be a Jew. You're a son of God. You got a closer relationship with God than a Jew does. That's lost. You're a son of God. Listen, brethren, you have God dwelling within you this morning. Well, I just can't get something unless I get from my notes. Then something's wrong, brother or sister. Something's wrong if you always got to run to the notes of Scofield, or run to the notes of Cloud, or run to the notes of whatever preacher, even though they might put good things out there. Is God giving you something? Is God speaking to your heart? Do you have a daily walk with Him in the morning or in the evening? Whatever your special time is with God, is God feeding you? Paul says here, it's a spiritual meat, it's a spiritual drink. But look at verse number 5. But with many of them, what? God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. There's a lot of Christians today that God's not well pleased with because they're being overthrown in the wilderness. They're going off of more of what they feel rather than what God says. Well, my feelings. Well, your feelings are going to be up and down. Your feelings are going to be all over the place. God and His Word is steadfast and sure. You can rest upon it. You can rest upon what God says this morning. Now these things, verse number 6. Now these things were our what? Examples. What things? the things we're getting ready to see and what he's already talked about in verses 1 through 4. Now these things were examples to the intent. Why? To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You see, by reading about the children of Israel and one, they were lustful. And they didn't trust God's word. You see, God had already proved himself to them through all those miracles he did before Pharaoh with Moses. Look at all the things that God did when the children of Israel were there in Egypt and he brought all those plagues that were miracles how God did it for the children of Israel to see that there is a God that cares for us and he is bringing us out and he is going to give us the strength to go in the land that he promised us. Yet they fell short of it because they lusted. You see, the devil will always bring up the good things of the past when we were lost, but he'll never bring up the bad things such as the bondage we were in and the trouble and the turmoil that we had when we were lost. He'll always bring up the pleasant things, the tasteful things, the good things, but he'll never bring up the misery that you had when you went to bed at night. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. But look at verse number 7. He says, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. And they are written for what? Our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. You know why you spend time in the Old Testament? Because the Bible says here in verse number 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. They're written for our admonition. You need the whole counsel of God. You know what concerns me is when somebody thinks that they got it all together. If you think you got it all together, my ears are automatically shut. If I'm around an individual, say, yeah, I got this. Well, yeah, I got, all right, I ain't listening to you because you don't know nothing. Some of you are a lot older than me. And so you probably bear witness to 1,000 times more than I can. But it seems like the older I grow, the less I know. The more I look back, like I was an idiot when I was 18. What was I thinking? When I was 20, I thought I had the answers. Man, I was dumb. It's like I want to go back in time and just slap myself across the face saying, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? You know, me and my wife were talking about it. I remember when I first got saved. Well, this is even before I was saved. I was preaching. I was preaching before I was saved. I was a crazy young man. Like I said, I was raised Pentecostal. I threw them for a loop. My preacher went away. This is when I was Pentecostal. I was lost now. I thought I was saved, but I was lost. He said, Chris, I got to go away for Christmas. Can you preach the Christmas message for me? I said, yeah, sure. I don't know if it was the first or second time I preached. Oh, I felt bad. Look, I was a fool. I preached on hell on Christmas Day. Those poor people were like, what is this man doing? But I had a zeal for God. What good is Christmas if you're going to go to hell? You see? You know what I'm saying? Oh, we're celebrating baby Jesus. Yeah, you're all going to burn in hell. I was zealous, but I was lost. And I'm so thankful that God had grace with me. And God brought me to where I'm today. But the more I look back on it, I'm thinking, you didn't, what were you doing? So where Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Listen, the only reason I'm standing here today is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason I'm here. It blows my mind away that God continues to let me live. Even after I've been saved. You see, there's been times after I've been saved that I have willfully sinned against God. Willfully. I knew I was doing wrong and I still did it and God was dealing with me about it and I still did it, yet he still showed me mercy. Ought not I to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Ought I not to give him everything that I have? The one who shows such great mercy and love towards me? These things were written for our examples. They're to admonish us. They're to teach us that we don't go do the same things that they did, but we enter into the rest that God has provided for us. Look back over at Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. God rested on the seventh day, and God expects His sons, His daughters, to rest in Him, to trust Him, to lean upon Him, and to look to Him. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 1. We'll look back at chapter 3, verse 19, and we'll go into 4:1. Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They did not have faith that God would see them through all those battles that they were getting ready to face over there in the promised land. You see, what God requires for us is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just be concerned with today. Don't be worried about tomorrow. You see, that's something I got to rest on. Our country's a mess today. There's no denying it. Our country is a mess. It's a dumpster fire. It's bad. Okay? And I'm afraid that the fire is probably not going to get put out. Right? Unless God does a miracle, this country ain't going to be changed, but it doesn't mean you can't be changed. For the glory of God. See, you're being changed one or two ways. You can be changed to the ways of this world and what this media is putting forward to you. Or you're going to be growing in grace and knowledge towards the Lord Jesus Christ till He calls us home someday. The reason they didn't enter in because their belief was not mixed with faith. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe God and His word and what God told them. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says this: by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Do you know this morning you can believe in vain? Now, the definition, I'm almost done here this morning, but listen to this now. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but I'm afraid they've never believed on Jesus. Should you believe in Jesus? Absolutely. But you ought also to believe on Jesus. Now get this. This is the definition of believe. To have a firm persuasion of anything. In some cases, to have a full persuasion approaching to certainty. So it almost is implying that you can believe, but belief can also have a point to where you're not completely yet certain on it. The definition goes on to say this. It says, in others, more doubt is implied. Belief is often followed by in or on, especially in the scriptures. So in the scriptures, you're going to see believe in, or often you're going to see believe on. You're going to see one of the two. To believe in is to hold as the object of faith. Ye believe in God, Jesus says, believe also me, John 14. But in James 2:19, you find that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, the devils believe in God. The devils and Satan knows that he knows there's a God. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you believed in Jesus, but have you also believed on Jesus? Look what the definition of dictionary says this. It says, to believe on is to trust and to place full confidence in and to rest upon with faith. I'm going to repeat that. To believe on is to trust and to place full confidence in, to rest upon with faith. That's too dangerous. I believe this chair could hold me, right? I believe in this chair that it can hold my weight. But a lot of people do this. They come to Christ like this. I believe in Christ, and this is their walk with Him. No, they ain't in yet. You say, preacher, what do you mean they're in it? they still, all their weight is still, they're still trusting in themselves. They have something on Christ. They know something about Christ. They might believe in Christ, but they're still trusting in themselves, you see, because all my weight is still on this leg right here. I'm not fully trusting in Christ. I'm not believing on Him yet till I step up on, and now Christ is holding me and I'm not holding Him. Does that make sense? A lot of people hold a belief in Christ, but it's their belief that they're holding on to in who Christ is, rather than believing on and Christ is now holding and supporting them. This is true salvation. This is a belief in vain. Do you see the difference between the two? There's a lot of people walking around today, they believe in Jesus. Just go out there in a street corner. Try to do some witnessing. Oh, I believe in Jesus. You're going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Why aren't you in church? Well, I just don't. They believe in Jesus. I'm afraid that they might have believed on Jesus. There's a big difference between the two. And that's why I got a problem today with this easy believe them stuff. You get a lot of people to repeat a prayer. Oh, you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. And well, just repeat after me. Good, now you're in. You're going to heaven. Now you need to do this. You need to come to church. When I got saved, you didn't have to tell me to come to church. I wanted to be in church. Actually, I was eating anything up that was called church. I was listen, I would go to work the next day. If it was something that said Jesus on the radio, I was listening to it. I was ate up with J. Vernon McGee and everybody else. If it had Jesus, I wanted it. But I was a newborn babe. You see, a newborn babe will put anything in its mouth. I had to be taught. Yeah, this is good to eat. No, you might not want to eat that. I had to learn. But I wanted God. I wanted to be in church. Well, we got 5,000 souls saved over the weekend and only 100 people show up in church. Something's not right. Now, I'm not saying you can't drift off on God. I'm not saying that. There's a good brother I know. He was back on God for 17 years. He just came back to our church down there. Doing right. He'll readily admit the whole time God was dealing the whole time. He was miserable, running from God. Got back right, 17 years out. Now, I'm not saying that can't happen. But if you are running from God, there ought to be something going on the inside, you know, when you ain't right. If you can just go out here, say you're saved, and continue on the life you were living beforehand, and ain't no conviction, ain't no chastisement, like the Bible says there should be, then you're a bastard. You ain't truly been born again of God. I'm afraid today there's a lot of people who have believed in Jesus, but they haven't believed on Jesus. They haven't put their complete faith and trust in His finished work. In theology, to believe sometimes expresses a mere assent of the understanding to the truths of the gospel. A mere assent of the mind to the truths of the gospel. As in the case of Simeon in Acts chapter number 8. You see, Simeon, he believed, and he was baptized, and he was lost. Peter calls him out on it. And then when Peter calls out him, what does Simeon say? Does he fall down before God and ask for help and forgiveness? No, he looks at Peter and says, "You pray for me." Simeon didn't want nothing to do with God. He wanted to make more money off of the Holy Ghost. He saw the power the apostles had, and he wanted the same thing. And others, the word implies, with this ascent in the mind, here it is. Now listen. In theology, to believe sometimes expresses a mere assent of the understanding to the truths of the gospel, as in the case of Simeon. In others, the word implies, with this assent of the mind, a yielding of the will and affections accompanied with a humble reliance on Christ for salvation. That's true belief. Not just with the mind, but the heart. That's true salvation. That's resting in Jesus Christ. John 1, 12, 13 says, But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We looked at it Wednesday night, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. Let's close with these last two verses. Luke chapter 8, verse 13, and then Hebrews. Luke chapter 8, verse 13, and then we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians and we'll be done. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 13. Luke 8:13. Luke 8:13. You know, brother, I take this stuff serious. I take it real serious because as a chaplain, there was a lot of times and a lot of things made me sick and just made me want to vomit how some of my independent Baptist friends did things in my facility. especially when I told them not to do it. And if I would name some, you probably would know exactly who I'm talking about, certain groups. But I would tell them, I said, come in. I said, listen, you ain't praying no prayer with these kids. You ain't doing it. You know why? Because I saw it done, and it came, same kids that they did it to, an hour later, they're cussing out the guard, they're punching the guard in the face, they're spitting on the Bible, they throw it in the trash can, yet they went out with their little scorecard saying they got 20 kids saved. It makes me so mad, I want to punch something. Because I work with those kids day in and day out and day in and day out. And some man comes in because he wants to look good on his prayer letter saying, I got 30 kids saved at the juvenile center. So everybody wants to keep supporting him because it seems like he's doing something for God. And I got to go back and clean up the mess. I had a church come in one time. They did a nice little thing. Everybody wants to get saved then. Okay, bow your heads. Anyone want to get saved, raise your hand. I'm watching the whole thing. I know my kids. I knew my kids. I see one boy raise up who already had claimed to be saved, but he wants to get saved again. Raise his hand, right? Pray this, that he prays it. All right, come on up. Wonderful. Everybody's clapping. Next week, I'm having a Bible study with the same kid. He looks at me, he says, brother, he says, chap, I don't believe in God. Last week, you made a profession of faith, and now this week, you're saying you don't even believe in God, and now you're Islam. I take it serious. I take it real serious. Have you believed in and have you believed on Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not saying there ain't any individuals out there who have prayed a prayer and gotten saved and gotten in. I believe there are some out there that did it. But the vast majority, I think they're just trying to do something to get you off your back, off their back. This is serious stuff today. I think we got a lot of people walking around. They prayed something, but ain't never been no change on the inside. Holy Ghost, look. Holy Ghost has got to bring conviction. Do you understand? When I got saved, there was Holy Ghost conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's the Holy Spirit's God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father except he has to be drawn. Look at me. Look. If there's somebody at that door, I can go and open. There's nobody there. But Jesus says, I'll not. If he's knocking on your heart, then you can open the door and get saved. But if there ain't nobody knocking on the door, you can open the door all day long. There ain't nothing going to happen for you. See, we're missing something today. We're trying to short circuit and shortcut the Holy Spirit's job. Instead of spending time in a prayer closet asking God to get a hold of somebody, we short circuit, we make it a quick because we don't want to see anybody go to hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. But God's got to be dealing with them. I try to do that with my kids. All four of them. They come up and say, Daddy, I want to be saved. Do you have any questions? No, you know what Jesus did? Yeah, then get in your bedroom and wrestle it out with God. Get in that bedroom, wrestle it out with God. I'm so thankful I did it that way. But you know the things that came in my mind that plagued my mind because brethren would come into church and visit and say, oh, your kids aren't saved? How old are they? Oh, 18, 19, 20. They're not saved yet. And they've been in church this long. What's the matter with you? I'd go home crying, want to pound my head, say, God, what is the matter with me? But I know I can't get my kids saved. God's got to deal with them, and they got to respond to God's dealing with them. It's a working between them and God. I gave her and my three sons everything they need to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now it's between them and God. And that's how we ought to do with everybody. Put the gospel out, be a witness, be a testimony, answer any questions they got, and then leave them holding the rock. Let them make the decision. Let them figure it out instead of trying to push people into the kingdom of heaven. That's why you say, I wonder why all our churches, David Cloud sent out a good thing on Bob Jones University, or Bob Jones Sr. I didn't get to read the whole article. It was pretty long. And the question of why is Bob Jones University the way it is today? Because we've got a lot of stillbirths. We put more emphasis on Bible college than a walk with God. And we got a, I'm afraid today, Sammy Allen said it one time, brother, I don't know if you ever heard him say it. Sammy Allen said this one time. He said, I believe 85% of people sitting in churches today are lost. And that was a good preacher right there. Why? Because we short-circuited God. We've taken the easy way. And we try to get the same results that we had in the Philadelphia church age as now that we have in the Laodicean church age. We're not seeing the results that Billy Sunday had or D.L. Moody or whoever else, these great preachers and the thousands that would come and get saved. We're not in that time frame no more. We're in the gleaning stages. So in order to seem like we're doing something for God, we just say, well, we got 1,000 people saved so that people think we're doing something for God. Do you understand the mess we're in today? And I'm not saying this church here, I'm saying as a whole. Just because you've got numbers doesn't mean that God's in it. Actually, it's just the opposite of what this book teaches. Look at Gideon. God said, now you got too many. Oh no, you still got too many. Can you imagine Gideon? God, hello. God, I'm not being disrespectful, God, but I think, have you looked over there and seen? There are like so many of them, we can't even number them, and you're telling me to cut this thing down even more, God? Yeah, God says, yeah, right, because you think you're gonna, if you get victory, you're going to think you did it. Brethren, I know this preaching, all right, fine. But I got a problem today. A lot of people saying they saved and there ain't been no evidence of change. No change. Still living like no change. I believe with all my heart, I'd rather have 4 people that are on fire and love God, God's changed, than 2,000 in this church that are as dead as a doornail. God will do more with that than that mega church. God's not looking at size. He's looking at the heart. Where's your heart this morning? Have you just believed in Jesus, but have you also believed on Jesus? Because, listen, brethren, there's rest. There's rest in your mind. There's rest that can be had. There's rest that can be had in your heart. Don't let the enemy, don't let the giants steal it from you. There's rest that can be had in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help me. God, I pray you'd help me. Lord, help this church. God, I pray you'd help our country. Help our churches, dear God. Lord, help our churches to get back to your word, to get back to a walk with you. Lord, I don't say this lightly, God, but if it takes you breaking this country in order for this church, for churches to get back to you in truth, Lord, I pray you do so. God, help us to love you more. Help us to walk with you. Help us to be certain of our salvation. Lord, that we just don't believe in you, but we believed on you. Lord, help us just not to have a mental assent to the things of God, but that our hearts have been changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us now as we go forward in these services. I thank you for these brethren. Lord, help us, dear God, Lord, those that are struggling in the mind and the heart. I pray you just give them strength and encouragement this morning. Lord, we love you. Lord, help us just to be faithful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a short little break here, and we'll get started again in a few minutes.